God's word today, let us turn to John chapter 12, 47 to 50. God is the righteous judge. God is the righteous judge. God is the righteous judge. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 137, it says, He is the righteous judge, and therefore His commands and judgment are righteous, as it's mentioned in Psalms. He is the righteous judge because His commands and judgments are righteous. So those who revere God, who fear God and keep His laws, He will allow them to come before Him to live with Him as His heirs. Our faith is believing this fact. Our faith, it begins. The foundation of this faith is fear of God, this reverence for God. This is the foundation of our faith. It says, your law is within my heart. Because you fear God, His law is within your hearts. As it says in Psalm chapter 40, that as you fear Him always, the law is always in your heart. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, it says, your law is within my heart. And that is where we say we have faith. And our faith life, the law of God, the law of the Lord, is the law of heaven. In Job chapter 38, verse 33, it says, do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? So the law of God is the law of heaven that never changes. And because His law never changes, it is eternal. And we must keep His law and keep it even to the point of death. This is what faith life is, that we keep His law even to the point of death. So people don't like dying, but even to the point of death, we must keep His law. The title of today's sermon is The Righteous and Law and Order. So it's about the righteous and law and order. So you have heard of the term law and order many times before. In America, we hear about this constantly, about law and order. So law and order. Because there is law, there is order, and there needs to be order for the law to have authority. The reason why law and order is important is because through the law, when order is set, then I will be kept, I will be protected, as well as the country. So if law and order is destroyed, then the country cannot be kept intact. So law and order is very important. The constitutional law states that a country governed by the law is very important. If the laws and commands are set correctly, then it goes well. But when the laws have completely collapsed, when there is an anarchy, though there is a country, when there is complete destruction and no one can do anything about it, so it's just lawless. And there is destruction. So a few years ago, we witnessed some anarchy. Just as if a hurricane passed by and we could not do anything about it, there were several months of these acts of anarchy going on. So America is a democratic country. The people cannot make decisions directly, but they have the right to vote. And through these votes, by choosing these governing officials, there are certain laws and order set. So in Europe, the country, it truly showed an example of a democratic nation. And if you followed such an example, the country would flourish. And the model country that set an example for the rest to follow is America. if deemed like the most ideal country with the most ideal system set in place. And though many people in the world today may curse and say negative things about America, we still see that, for example, people in China or Saudi Arabia and the people in these non-democratic nations, when they want to send their children abroad, it's to America. So it still seems like America is still regarded as the most ideal place by many, as it is a democratic nation. But what is the reality today? Do you know what the month of June is in America? So in our church, it is the month of loving the church. So we all know this, the month of loving the church here at COJ. But in America, it is Pride Month. So it's the month that celebrates the LGBTQs, such as including the transgender people. So they call this month a month to celebrate people like transgenders. So I don't know who established this. Maybe it's the government, but it's a month to celebrate the LGBTQ. So for us, we are not used to it, but so many in America are familiar with this Pride Month. So throughout American society now, it has completely spread and truly ruling over society and deeply embedded in this culture and influencing certain things, this cultural movement. And people are encouraging and inciting this movement. And whoever started this, whoever it is, they're leading this change. So maybe you have heard the popular beer brand in America, Budweiser, Bud Light. So in order to make a commercial, they asked the transgender to take the lead role, and then there was a big uproar because of it. Adidas, as well, the shoe company, they also partook in this. And you also know Target, the retail company, and in their commercial, I saw that their buildings are very big, they're huge, but their swimsuits and athletic wear, shorts, everything is rainbow colored, and you can't tell if it's for men or women, and this whole floor was filled with these clothes. So I thought Target was like a one-story building and it was a pretty small store, but from this commercial I saw that it was a huge store and there's a whole floor dedicated to this LGBTQ clothing, their Pride collection. And also doctors as well, there are many supporting transgenderism or being educated. So even in hospitals, they're educating people about that this is normal. So they're teaching that being binary is not normal. And also in the Navy, they recruit people to join. But how they do so is there is something called the Navy Digital Ambassador Pilot Program. So they recruit people, and so there are issues with being in the Navy because for months they are separated from their parents, their family, their friend, their parents, and they're out at sea. So I'm not sure why, but they're trying to draw in men to recruit people to join the Navy by having them dress up as women, and they look very pretty. So recently they enlisted a drag queen for recruiting potential people, and there was this video that showed this. So they don't have breasts, but they wear bathing suits and they look very pretty and are promoting the Navy by doing such things, and they're making this truly discussing videos to recruit people, and they say, we have people like them, come join us. So America is on its way to complete destruction. So before, if you wanted to join the Navy or the like, you needed the heart, you needed patriotism. Whether it was the Navy or Army, our nation, they had this mindset that their nation is the greatest, and you joined with this patriotism. But now this country is showing such vulgar things to recruit people, and it is just so ridiculous. And we can truly see the end. And then, do you know the country Uganda? Compared to America, it is poverty stricken, but in Uganda, their president announced a law that prohibits homosexuality. If any schools have taught children about homosexuality or such things, or encouraged such things, it's against the law. And if you have committed sexual acts against children or are accused or transmitting HIV, then they would be put to death. So it's an incredible country, maybe better than the US. So the world is going astray and becoming corrupted in the blink of an eye, and are on the way to hell, to hellfire. Last year, there wasn't that much talk of transgenderism, but this year is becoming more in the spotlight. And it's not just homosexuality, but transgenderism. They say, it's my body, and if I want to be a man, then I will become a man. And if I want to be a woman, then I will become a woman. And who's going to stop me? So this is basically denying and challenging the creator. So when we are born, we cannot choose whether we are a man or woman. But now men can say, I am going to be a woman. And women can say, I want to be a man. And therefore, they are denying the creator and have come to this point. And this is truly the end. And therefore, we have to be alert and awake. The Bible says that the righteous God will judge as the righteous judge. And according to his law, if this is considered illegal, then you would be condemned to hell. So we have to believe this. Amen. God is righteous. And because he is righteous, from him will come judgment. And he will judge whether one goes to heaven or hell. Righteousness, judgment, and punishment. Repeat, righteousness, judgment, and punishment. And if we know the Bible correctly, we have to keep this in mind and believe. Our ancestor Adam sinned, and though he was given a command to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he disobeyed that command, and therefore became a slave of the devil and was destined to go to hell with the devil, and all mankind would follow. So God, he called the people of Israel, and when they were in the desert, God gave them the law. And when we say the law, it is filled with statutes and judgments. So statutes and judgments. And to the people of Israel, God gave the law and told them to keep them. So God over 100 times reminded them to keep the law. And if they kept it, all would go well, and they would be arrive at the promised land, and their offspring would flourish and continue in the generations. But if not, then they would be cast out from the land. Their offspring would not continue. And as if a hurricane completely blows things over, their nation would be destroyed. So wherever they went, it was the law that they were to keep. So there was only one law, and if Israel conquered a certain nation, then the law they were to still keep was the law. So God ingrained in them that there is only one law, and that one law is the same to all people. So everyone is equal before the law, is what he instilled in them. That there is one law, and everyone is equal before the law. So all people before the law are equal. So whether it was the Israelites who kept this law for a long time, or whether they were foreigners that Israel conquered, this law was for everyone. So there was a judge who would judge in each tribe. So there were different judges who were set. But whenever judgment was difficult to make, they would go to the temple of Jerusalem, or the tabernacle where the high priest was, and they would go together, and they would receive judgment through the high priest. On the clothes the high priest wore, they would add another layer, and it was called the breastplate of judgment, which showed it gave authority to the one who wore this, and the high priest would make judgment. And behind the breastplate was a pocket where they would place a white stone and black stone. And these elements of Urim and Thummim was attached to the breastplate. So it was white stone and black stone. And the breastplate was covered with 12 precious stones, but within it was a white or black stone. And if the people came and said they do not know how to judge a certain case, and they would go before the high priest, and where they gave sacrifice, and with these stones, some say they throw the stone, and according to what was shown, God would say yes or no to a specific question or specific case. So the high priest would use these elements of Urim and Thummim that was attached to the breastplate, the ephod. So this was the high priest. So if they couldn't decide within their tribe, they would go to the high priest who wore the breastplate that was attached to the ephod. And as the final judgment comes from God, the judgment would not change. What they believed, that this would be the final judgment. So God had the Israelites keep the law and the statutes in a very detailed manner, and God had them issue such judgments in these ways. But, however, because they could not keep them, as they were a stiff-necked people, they were ultimately destroyed. So God, as he is righteous, he wanted to teach the Israelites to be regarded as the most respected nation, a nation above all others. But as they sinned, their nation was taken away, and their authority and possessions were taken away as well, and they became captives to foreign nations. When Jesus Christ came, the Israelites were being governed by Rome. They wondered how they could be restored and be governed by God again. That they would no longer be governed by nations of the world, but be governed by God. And because of this, they did not leave the temple, but continued giving offerings and sacrifice before the temple. And it was during this time that Jesus Christ appeared. Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christ, he appeared before where? He appeared before the temple and said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." So what was in the temple? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple," because the temple had the name of Jehovah, And that name is the name of the God of Israel. So the nation of Israel, so to the nation of Israel, God gave the law and showed that the consequences of them keeping the law was that God would save them. But if not kept, then they would be destroyed. And the one who decided their fate was Jehovah. And how was their fate decided? It depended on whether they kept the law or disobeyed the law. So if kept, they would become the greatest nation and continue to live in the land that God promised. But now that era was over, and no matter how much they longed to return, Jesus said it would end. Jesus said, destroy this temple, which meant no longer will Jehovah rule over you by this law on earth, but now I have come. That I have come, who? The Son of God. The Son of God has come. The Son who was in the Father's bosom has come. So what kind of God is God? He is the righteous judge. God is the righteous judge. This is how we began. And his Son came. So he did not come to do a completely separate work. But when the one who was in the Father's bosom came, he came with the same attributes, and the purpose was to do the same work. So the Word became flesh, God became flesh, and the righteous judge came. He came as man to the nation that had already lost their sovereignty and authority. So he came to such nation, and because he came to such a place, he came to an environment where he could do the same work. No one recognized him but Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh. He came as the righteous judge and came to do this work on this earth and in the land, in the world. He came to do the work that the Israelites and the Levites did. He would do the same work, but it would no longer be on this earth, but in the eternal kingdom. He would establish a new nation, an eternal kingdom, and the eternal law, and to make the eternal judgment, and that is why the Word became flesh. Do you understand? The Word became flesh. God became flesh. The Spirit became flesh. The eternal attribute of God, in order to make it eternal, the Spirit became flesh. The Word became flesh. God came in the flesh. The Spirit came as man. And who is God? God is the righteous judge. He is the eternal judge. He came to do this work. And in order to make his judgment eternal, the Spirit came in the body, in the flesh. So Jesus said also something very important. He said this to all nations. It was to all souls. He spoke the truth, he spoke the truth to all souls, and that truth, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The Son came to speak the Father's word, and the Father's word is truth. The word of the Father is truth, and as I speak them, I am the truth, is what he meant. Next. So now we'll turn to John. So this is the month the Church of Jesus was established. This is the month that the Church of Jesus was established. But is the Church of Jesus truly acknowledged, a church that is acknowledged by God? That it is about questioning, if I, the soul, we chose to come to this church, and if I attend, then is this really my choice to attend the Church of Jesus? And if so, then what do I need to do? So we have to listen with great sincerity. For me, I'm thinking about this and praying sincerely regarding this, and it might be difficult to hear, it may be dry, but as it is the month of loving the church, we really have to ask ourselves, what does the Church of Jesus mean to me? And as a member of the Church of Jesus, am I to remain here? So let us decide after hearing. So John chapter 12, verse 47. So if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. So it says he does not judge those who do not keep his words. This is the Son of Man, and he came as man and slept like man and ate like man. Everyone thought he was a man, and he said, I won't judge you by words. I do not. As he slept and ate with them and the disciples, could they believe that he is God? They couldn't. It was hard. And then verse 48, it says, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. What did the Son of Man come to do? He came to save it, not to judge it. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So that was his purpose. And during the time of Jesus, people questioned if, so it says, the Son of Man, he came to save the world, not to judge it. So during the time of Jesus, there were those who questioned if he was the Son of God, and no matter what blasphemy they committed, would Jesus judge them? No. Though they put him to death and pierced him, what did he do? He prayed to forgive them. He said, I won't judge you. That even if they killed the Son of Man, he said, I will not blame you. I will not judge you. But there would be one who would judge them. That the very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. The words of Jesus Christ. The words of the Son of God. The Father God. The words that he spoke, those words will condemn them. And he explained, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. Now this is very important. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So the words of Jesus, that he did not speak on his own, that he spoke only the words he received as command, the words of the Father he received as command, and he spoke them as is. The Father commanded the words he would say, that he commanded the words he would say and how he would say it. So regarding the words of Jesus, so he would say, the Father commanded him what to say and how to say it. So what to say and how to say it. So the Father commanded him what to say and how to say it. And the Father commanded him of all these things, what to say and how to say it. So whatever Jesus spoke, he received it from the Father and received it as command and spoke just as commanded. So it's 100% all the Father's words, The words of Jesus Christ are the words of the Father. The words of the Father are the words of Jesus Christ. And some may ask, was it really 100%? So we shouldn't doubt. But the reason Jesus spoke in such detail and the words that he spoke are commanding words that the Father gave him, the commands of the Father that he gave him to embed in us. So as Jesus Christ spoke this, ultimately he said, I know that his command leads to eternal life. The commands of the Father, the commands of the Father are eternal life. So say amen if you want eternal life. Is it just living eternally and living very long? No, it's going to the Father's house and going to heaven and living there eternally. And you may say, just let me live here eternally. So that's just religion. But the faith we believe in is eternal life. The result of this faith is eternal life. And the reason we must receive eternal life is that if we do not have it, then we go to hell. So we have to have eternal life. It's either eternal life or hell. Amen. So some people say, I do not want to believe just because of this. I just wanted to hear good words and go to a good place, live a good life, and go to a good place. So why should I follow like this? The reason why Jesus Christ explained to such extent in such details is that even if you persecuted me and blasphemed me, I will not judge you. But, however, the words I have spoken will condemn you at the very end, for they are the words of the Father. The Father commanded me what to say and how to say it, and I will give them as command. That he would give to us as in the form of command. And I know his command leads to eternal life. Say amen if you want to believe in Jesus and have eternal life. So whose command? And in whose name? Is it in Moses' name? The Moses' law? No, we have to receive the command of Jesus Christ, the commands of the Son, because his commands are the commands of the Father. It is the order of heaven and came from heaven. And in order to speak these commands, it began with his birth and throughout his life. This is what he wanted to speak. Say amen if you want eternal life. Then what do we need to do? We have to receive his words as command and obey. 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 So Jesus Christ spoke this, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were scholars of the law, but all they thought of was how to get rid of Jesus, how to kill Jesus. So the commands of the law, they thought they only needed to keep Moses' command. So they therefore wanted to get rid of Jesus, for he caused all this confusion and contradiction. And they thought, how could they make it appear that he did not keep the law, that he went against their laws, and how he could be killed according to the law, according to their law at the time. So using the laws that were in effect, they tried to think of ways to find charge against him, to accuse him of disobeying. So one day they asked Jesus, teacher, you are true and you only speak right words. And so they asked him, teacher, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? So Caesar was the king ruling over Rome, the greatest nation at the time. So they asked him if it was right or not to pay taxes to Caesar during that time. And this was their question. And that was the law that was set. But if Jesus said, I am Christ and I am a king trying to set this nation, and that I am also a king and I'm trying to establish my kingdom here. And if he said that you do not have to pay taxes to Caesar, then they would say, this is now our chance. And they would say, you are against the current law and therefore should be put to death and be punished. So this is why they asked Jesus this. But Jesus knew their wicked thoughts. He knew very well their evil intent. And so he said, bring me a coin. And he asked them, whose image is this? And they replied that it was Caesar's. Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So when I hear things like this, I think, wow, how are you just so intelligent that he knows all things, that this was nothing for him, that it was very, this was very easy. So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, the ones who tried to trap him, they were just amazed. They were shocked that he could not be tricked, that he could not be trapped. So when we look at the entirety of the Bible, be it the New Testament or Old Testament or wherever, the Bible does not have any instance where it ignores the current government or its laws, where it denies it. Rather, it is acknowledged, and Jesus acknowledges it, and he fulfills it himself and also makes a way to escape them as well. So he said to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. The soul in you, whose is it? It is God's. That by my soul I purchased it, by my blood I purchased your soul, so you have to give to God. So we have to applaud him. So another time they sold Jesus and arrested him. They brought him to Pilate, and Pilate said, your people turned you over to me, and they say that you are the Messiah. Don't you know what they are saying about you? I have the authority to kill you or set you free. That I have this authority to crucify you or set you free. That I have this authority. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin, and to do as he wished. So even before Pilate, he did not resist or deny the king or its laws or authority. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. That his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, a completely different kingdom, is what he talked about. So Pilate said, I cannot find any fault with him. Because the people, however, were in an uproar and shouting to crucify him, the Israelites said, his blood is on us and our children. And just as they proclaimed, it was being fulfilled, and Jesus was handed over to death. And just as they said, it is being fulfilled even to this day to the people of Israel. So wherever they go, every nation, they're persecuted and they're hated, and this continues on, and it's being fulfilled as they said. Finally, Jesus died on the cross, and he said, it is finished. And what did he finish? What did he finish? He fulfilled the Father's will that was set in the beginning, in eternity. The will he wished to fulfill by sending the Son, the will of the Father, that this work he fulfilled. And what did he fulfill? So now let us turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Christ, who is he? He is in very nature God. He is in very nature God. And God is spirit. God is spirit. So God is spirit. So he does not have a bodily form. But God, in the beginning, he made a decision to be the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it does not mean he is three gods, but one God who works as three different persons. The Father, he set his will, and the Son fulfilled the Father's will, and the Holy Spirit, he works in the souls of those who he has redeemed and have become the children of God, and works to fulfill the Father's will in them. So the Son is in very nature God. So when we say in very nature God, there is a figure and shape, there's form. So from eternity, God is one God. But in the one God, there were three persons, is what he set, what he determined. And among the three, one person, the Son, one person of God, came as man, and he is the Son of God and is in very nature God. He came as the God who had a form, a shape, but the Word did not change, however. So the Word became flesh. So the Father does not have a form, but the one who came with a form is the Son. The reason he came in the flesh, in the body, is because he had to do work with the flesh. So it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. That though he was equal with God, he did not consider equality as something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. That with his body, by dying on the cross, he became obedient to death, and we call him the Son of God. And that is the purpose of God coming as man. So it says becoming obedient to death. So before creation, there was God's purpose for Jesus to come in the form of man. He had the will to come as man and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. This was already set in eternity. So in Genesis chapter 3, as we read, so Jesus did not come because Adam sinned. The purpose wasn't set when Adam sinned. That's not the reason, but this was already set, already been decided in eternity. The fact he became obedient to death was so that God would exalt him to the highest place and give him the name above every name, which is the name of Yeshua. So the name that is above every name. The name above every name, that it is not of a king's or Moses' name, while the name of Jehovah was the name above every name,
At that time, it was one brought by angels, but the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, is the name of the Father. It is the name of God. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the name of Yeshua, God gave him as an inheritance and as his name, so that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord, and he would give glory to the Father in this way." So those who have gone to Zoe and have taken Logos would understand this. But I repeat it today because though it seems like we understand, those who understand, there are those who somewhere down the line say something completely different. So Jesus Christ obeyed to the point of death. Because who is the Father? So we have to summarize again. The Father, who is he? He is the righteous judge. He is the righteous Father. And Father is the law. So what is the title of today's sermon? It's the righteous and law and order. The Father is the law. The Father is the law. And the Son is the order. So we have to think about this again. That there needs to be law. And when it is fulfilled, then there is order. That when the law is kept, there is order. So the Father, who is before creation, in eternity, he sets the law. And when that law is fulfilled and kept, carried out, then order is kept. Because the Father is the law, the Son, he fulfilled this law and therefore established the order. So there is a hierarchy that you have to keep order. So he has to keep this order. Because the Father gave the command, the Son came and he died according to the Father's command. In John chapter 18, he died according to the Father's command. Because there was the Father's command first. And when was it? It was from eternity. Before creation, in eternity, this had already been set, and the Son came to this earth, and the fact that he died on the cross, his death, it set, it established the order. So do you understand? So he set the eternal order of hierarchy, of ranks. So the Son cannot exceed or surpass the Father. He obeyed the Father's command. And until when? Until he died on the cross? Does he obey only until then? No. We said it's eternal. It is for eternity. And as we said, there is an eternal rank. And he became the eternal high priest. And there he serves the Father. So through his death, he condemned the devil, the ruler of death. So the devil, he wanted to become like God. So God, he gave the law of sin and death. As the devil deceived Adam and Adam sinned, the devil became the ruler of death, the authority of death. So God allowed him to have this. But as Jesus died in Hebrews chapter 2, he destroyed the ruler of death. The devil was defeated eternally and condemned, and his fate to hell was decided. And through his death, he paid the price of sin of all mankind through his atoning blood, through his redeeming blood. And to those who receive his blood, those who receive the sprinkling of his blood, he gives the forgiveness of sins and allows them to be born again as the children of God. And God set all this so those who become the children of God can become heirs of God. So we spoke of an eternal rank. So
So first, as the son died according to the command of the father, he became the high priest who serves before God eternally. So he established the order between the father and the son, that the son would serve the father as the most high priest. And those who have been born again by his blood and have become the children of God, he makes them heirs of God to become co-heirs with Christ. So co-heirs with Christ. And who is the highest of heirs? It is Jesus Christ, and who serves God on the throne with him. It is the souls who have been born again and receive the forgiveness of sins and have been made his children and heirs. So this is the eternal order of ranks that he set. And there are countless angels, but no matter what kind of angel there may be, with whatever duty they have, God has set the hierarchy. He has set this rank that they are to minister to men, that they are to serve men. So we see the order and the rank that was set here, that the Son serves the Father, and the souls who have been born again by his blood, who have become children of God, will serve Jesus Christ and serve God, and the angels will be the ones who serve men, the heirs of God. So the law and order has been set here. So Jesus, he resurrected, and he sits on the throne in heaven. And when he resurrected, he took hold of the authority of heaven and earth. In Matthew chapter 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew, so we have to read this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So after Jesus resurrected, the authority given to him is of all heaven and earth. So there is no greater authority than over heaven and earth. And the ruler over that is Jesus. He has the greatest authority. So he proclaimed as the one with the greatest authority, that with this authority, that there is no greater authority. And he proclaimed a public ordinance, that whether it is on heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, all authority on heaven and earth was given to him. And this is what he proclaimed. And what he proclaimed was to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And what is the name of God? What is that name? Where does it say this? Acts chapter 19, verse 5. So before it said the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to baptize them. And then Acts chapter 19, 5, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the name of Jesus, the name of God, the name of the one with authority on heaven and on earth, in such name he is proclaiming. So he is proclaiming in the name of Jesus. So when you establish a nation, the very first law of the kingdom of Christ is what? That he said, baptize them in the name of Jesus, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he commanded baptism. So a few days later, after he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, and as soon as the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they went out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And what Peter also said was to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus to receive the forgiveness of sins and be saved.